Why in the world would we consider the teaching of others? Anybody got any idea? I got this pamphlet the other day from, it was in the mail. It included a personal letter to the Stump family. I don't know how they knew that the Stumps lived there. I'm guessing maybe they opened the mailbox and just looked at a piece of mail. I don't know. Maybe, I don't think we have the Stumps out somewhere. Maybe we do. Okay, so they can, all right, that's fine. Either way, I was just saying it was addressed personally, and there was actually a handwritten note that was in there. And this was the person, and this is important right now because this is on people's minds, and this pamphlet covers, will suffering ever end, right? It says, would you say yes, no, maybe? And so I looked at, you know, some of the things that it said there, is that what the Bible says is that God will wipe away tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, suffering, crying, or pain. We know that from Revelation 21. And what that can mean for you, the pamphlet is saying that this assurance that God does not cause our problems. You can look in James 1:13 and see that. Comfort from knowing that God feels for us when we suffer. You can look in Zechariah 2:8 and see that. And hope that all suffering will end. We can see that in Psalms 37:9 through 11. And so when I researched these scriptures and looked through there, all of that was true. And so when people are handing out pamphlets like this, what they're trying to bring you closer to God, right? But you have to look at what these people teach. Now, I just share with you everything that it said, and I looked at these scriptures, and they do proclaim what they say here. But there's a problem with that pamphlet. But we'll touch on that right at the end. But the reason that we should consider the teaching of others is that the early church did. The early church had to deal with the Jews coming into the congregations and telling the people that unless you were circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you could not be baptized. These were Christians that had accepted Christ, but they had come to a place where they just could not give up that circumcision of the law. Some of them were Judaizers that went in to steer up the hearts of those Jews that had accepted Christ and make them feel guilty because they had rejected the law, and that drew them back. But just because that they got this messed up doesn't mean that at one time they didn't understand the truth. Okay? And so these lies started to draw them away. And so the early church had to contend with the fact, with the Gentiles, they were like, well, the Jews have known God for thousands of years. They should certainly know what God wants us to do. We should take their example. And so there was confusion there about salvation, muddying the waters of who Christ was. And the apostles stepped in and wrote letters to these churches to squelch these arguments. In other words, the church, when faced with a Jew or a Gentile and the discussion that erupted from this, if an apostle wrote a letter, that was what they would consider as the standard. We listen to what the apostles say. That was the reason for writing the letter. And we certainly can do that today. But the early church certainly considered the teachings of others. Acts 17:10 through 11 tells us that. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And that's a country, it's no longer called Berea, but it's a country in northern Greece. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, why would a Christian go into the synagogue of the Jews? Some people will tell you is because Jew or Christian, it didn't matter. But the reason that Paul and Silas, being Christians, went into the synagogue of the Jews is because they were teaching Jews. And if you wanted to find Jews to teach, where did you go? To the synagogue, okay? But people will say that it was because that we worshiped on Saturday, because the synagogues were okay, the Jew and Gentile, Christian, whatever, it didn't matter. That is not the case. They were teaching Jews, and they went into the synagogues because that's where you found them. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And in verse 11, it says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. They had just come from there. And the reason that they were more fair-minded is that they received the word with all readiness. That means when the apostle spoke, what I said a minute ago, is that these people probably had discussions about what was going to go on, who was right, who was wrong. And then the apostle come in and they said, there's the man that's going to fix the problem. You listen to him. He walked with Jesus. I want to hear what he has to say. Everybody be quiet. And so they were ready to receive the word as the apostle spoke them. And it says, and they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily. Why did they do that? To find out whether these things were so. When the apostles told them that Jesus Christ fulfilled a prophecy in Isaiah and he was the long-awaited Messiah, you know what those in Thessalonica, those in Berea did? They went and read Isaiah. You know why? Because they were looking to see if the apostles knew what they were saying. Evidently, those in Thessalonica would have just said, I don't believe you. Or they would have just said, see, Paul said it, I believe it. They didn't look for themselves. They didn't look for themselves. God did not put teachers in place so that you didn't have to study. He put teachers in place to help you. We have teachers. Teachers have teachers. Do you think that the oldest, maturest, longest-serving Christian is the teacher? The Holy Spirit is the teacher. The Word of God is the teacher. And you can show that man or that woman that you've sat down and you've known your entire life as you're studying, you could show that person something that they'd never seen before. And you know why? Because we have a tendency that if we are always the one with the answers, that puffs us up. Makes us think we're something. We need to come to a place of humility ourselves as teachers to realize that we don't know everything and the youngest could actually show us. It keeps us humble. Right? If not, our heads would be, it's just the way that we are. If you thought you took care of yourself and nobody else helped you, your head would be this big and nobody could tell you nothing. You know that song, You Can't Tell Me Nothing? You know that song? No, I'm done singing. I'm over that career. If we don't come to a place where we realize that somebody can show us something and that we need a Savior, and this is where these people at Berea was, because what this world teaches you is that you don't rely on anybody else. You pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and you go out into this world. Right? That's not so bad. We have to be strong because there are people that are counting on us. But we are not the ones that take care of ourselves. God does. God does. And so when these people wanted to know the truth, they didn't take the apostles' word. They looked behind them. And they said, you know what? He's right. And you know what that does? That builds confidence in the apostles. We have the apostolic word today. And when the elders preach from it in truth, that builds confidence in the elders. And when you have a strong leadership, then you have a strong church. Because the leadership teaches the church, and when the church listens to the leadership and trusts the leadership, they become strong because they actually learn. Right? We look into the teaching of others because not everybody tells you the truth. With all that we hear in religion, God wants us to be discerning about faith and about His doctrine. He does not want you to take my word for it. That's why I give Scripture references. That's why I put it up here on the board so you can actually read that it came from Scripture. And if you have a problem with that, then we can talk about that. Because I don't know everything, but I certainly should know what I'm teaching. If I'm going to have hearts in front of me that are going to build on what I'm saying, I better know what I'm talking about. Does that mean that I know everything? Of course not, but I better know what I'm talking about. There has to be one anchor, one source of truth, and for the Christian, that has got to be the Word of God. I can't help what they do out there. I can't help what other people come to you and say, well, this book doesn't say that. That's not what my preacher said. I can't help what other people's anchor is. For a Christian, it's got to be the Word of God. And you said, well, wait a minute. I thought you said that they just didn't take Paul's word for it, that they just didn't take... I didn't say that man should be the anchor of God. I said that Scripture should be the anchor of God. Do you know that Paul rebuked Peter? Because Peter was playing the hypocrite with the Jews. And he was an apostle. He was the one that taught the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. He's also the one that came to the Gentiles and preached that first gospel sermon. Same man, same sermon. And Paul rebuked him to his face. Men are going to be men. We are every bit as much of a failure because we need Christ too. And the Word of God showed us that so that we wouldn't have faith in the man, but we would have faith in the man and the message that the man brought. One anchor, the Word of God. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." There are people that will go out and teach in the name of Jesus, and they will not be telling you the truth. That's why we need to consider other people's teaching. They will stand up and they will lie to you. Some for personal gain. Some because they themselves are being deceived. Nobody likes to hear a message like this. But in times when people were expecting that the church is going to overcome a virus where they think the world is going to end, they think that what's going on, and they start looking to other things for answers, you've got to realize that God has answers. God's been showing us these things all our life. You're just now noticing? What about the circumstances that caused you to notice? You ever think that maybe that was a good thing? Not that people are getting sick, not that people are getting hurt, but that you opened your eyes and you started taking account that you have a soul before God. And the teaching of others might have told you that you were okay, that don't worry about what other people say, don't worry about this, don't worry about that. But now you're actually taking an interest in your own soul and you're starting to look behind what people tell you. Where'd you get that information? How do you know I'm okay? Who told you I'm okay? How do you know anything about me? Right? How do these people, can they tell you? They don't know the secrets that you hold. They don't know the things that in your life that you wish that you hadn't have done. They don't know the things in your life that you're not the same person that you were. That you've grown, that you've changed, that you're not a 16-year-old crazy man. Right? You're now a family man. You see the world different. You have expectations on you. You're willing to sacrifice for people. Real sacrifice for people. Not just about being yourself and being immature. False prophets have gone in the world. And John tells us this. He says, "Beloved," he's talking to the church, "do not believe every spirit." Why? Because people were coming into the church and they were preaching to other people lies. They were telling them in the name of Jesus. And if they'd looked behind them, they would have seen that they were lying. All who claim to be spiritual and of the church, shouldn't their teachings harmonize with Scripture? Yes, it should. If we're going to believe somebody about salvation, then we certainly should be able to look into Scripture and see where they get that from. And I shouldn't be able to go to someplace else, some other building, some other name on a building, some other person, and then tell me that there's a different way to be saved or a different way to follow Jesus. If they claim to be spiritual, their teaching should at least harmonize with Scripture. And they don't. And the reason is because false prophets have gone out into the world. A prophet is someone that says that I speak for the living God, and they're lying to you. And the only defense that you have to know is the Holy Spirit within you and that Word of God. That's your anchor. God doesn't say this. We can't take one scripture from the Bible that says something that's dear to our heart to make a religion around it. And people have done that multiple times. God always wants us to be discerning about His Word. And those people that go against His Word, God is not happy with. Judgment is coming for everyone, but judgment is coming for them because they teach other people, they believe in what those people teach, and both will be held accountable for that. That's why you study after other people. Just because he's wrong doesn't give you a free pass. The world needs to know this. We need to tell them. Why we look into the teaching of others? Because they don't all harmonize with Scripture. Luke 6:46, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" Why not build a church around that verse? Instead of just saying that God loves everybody and that's what we're going to build our church around, why not build a church around this? That the Lord asked you to do some things, and He said, "Why would you dare call me your Messiah, your Savior, and you're not even doing anything I'm asking you to do?" That's why we look into the teaching of others. Because they will tell you. They will tell you lies. They'll tell you something to soothe your conscience. Well, you know what? I like my conscience being soothed. It feels good, you know? But it's not helpful to me. When my dad used to tear my tail up for lying to him, I realized how destructive a lie was to someone else. I thought it was just a way to get out of trouble. But the reality was is that I hurt him because I lied to him. And we hurt others when we lie to each other. And that's a fact. Divisions do not occur in denominations because of the name of Jesus. Because all of these people teach Him in some fashion or another. But they divide over His teaching, over His doctrine. What gives them the right to do this? Jesus says something that He doesn't like. The apostles say something that we don't like, and we just choose to not follow that? Who gave us the authority to do that? That's why we have to look at teachings of others. Acts 2:41-42. "Then those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Who is the them that it was added to? It was the church. It was the start of the church. What added them to the church was them believing the word that Peter read that spoke to them and being baptized in that teaching. And people will tell you all day long that this is wrong. This is what added them to the church. If that's what added them to the church then, that's what adds us to the church now because we read the same word. This is our anchor. And that all the teachings of others don't tell you this. They want to make you feel good. They want to lift you up because you know what? This world will bring you down. And there's a lot of sadness here. And I'm not just talking about, you know, us here. I'm talking about in the world in general and in our parents' lifetime and our grandparents' lifetime. They've dealt with a lot of things that made them really sad. And it was nice when those days that come along when you went outside and there was a cool breeze, the sun was in the sky, and it wasn't too hot, and you had your big tall glass of lemonade, and there was nothing to do. And you could just say, you know, I'm just going to sit back and take a rest. But you know when that happens? Maybe once in your lifetime. These souls were added to the church. And once that church was established, those souls were added to them. Verse 42 says, "The church continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers." This is what makes the church. This established the church. Those people that were added to the church, they were told these are the things that we continue in. And people will tell you that none of this is necessary. They'll tell you that the breaking of bread, this communion table, it's not necessary. That breaking of bread, Scripture tells us that it's the cup of blessing. It is this communion table. Hebrews tells us that if we come to a place where we forsake the gathering around this table, that we no longer have a sacrifice for our sins. If we come to a place where we see that this table is not necessary in our life or in our congregation of believers, we cease to become the church and we start to fall away from God. That's why we look into the teachings of others, because they'll tell you that you won't. Then why did Peter tell the church here that these were the things that they continued in, because this is what made the church? Why? Well, I would say he knew what he was talking about. You see, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, which New Testament book did he preach from? There wasn't any. He used the Old Testament and the prophecy there to confirm who Jesus Christ was. But if he had a New Testament book, do you think he would have preached from it? Oh, yeah. None were written. Yet today, when we read in Acts, which is a New Testament book, all Peter had preached for us to follow and become a Christian at this point under the apostles' doctrine was who Jesus was and how to receive the Holy Spirit, the promise from the Father. So if he would have had a New Testament book at that time, it would have been who Jesus was and how to receive the promise of the Father. That is the only apostles' doctrine that existed when the church was established, and he said they followed the apostles' doctrine. This pamphlet that come in the mail, it tells you a lot of good things. It tells you truth. But when it comes to who Jesus is, he was just a man. He was just a man that God accepted what he did and the sacrifice that he did. It's garbage. It's garbage. And someone took the time to write me a handwritten note because they were concerned about my soul. And if they would let the Scripture be their anchor, they would see that what they're being told is a lie. Jesus is not just a man. He is God. Because the only apostles' doctrine that the church was that established the church that they were to follow right there, and they were the church, was who Jesus was and how to be saved. The fellowship, they were already together. The breaking of bread coming around the body and blood of the resurrected Christ. Proclaiming the Lord's death until He come back. That's exactly what they were doing. It says so right here, Acts 2:32-39. This says who Jesus was. That pamphlet goes right against who Jesus said He was. Acts 2:32-39. This Jesus, Paul speaking, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we were all witnesses. They witnessed the resurrected Christ. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God. That's not where they say He is. And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He poured out these things which you now see and hear. Who did that? The person at the right hand of the Father, which is Jesus. God gave the Holy Spirit. They say He's not God. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself, see, David didn't go into heaven. This man whom God said that he was a man after his own heart, why didn't he accept David's sacrifice? For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Do you know who he said that he would make the enemies his footstool? It was Christ that was being talked about. That's the context of the statement. This Jesus God has raised up, we are all witnesses. That's the context of who he's talking about here. And that pamphlet, if you will listen to their teaching, they'll tell you that Jesus is not God. These things Jesus could not do because he was only a man. Only God could do these. He said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the name of a man? Paul forbid that when he wrote the letter to Corinthians. He says, I'm just a man. He says, was Paul crucified for you? Is Paul divided? We can't be taught in the name of a man. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. Jesus is the one that the church that he left behind, they're baptized in his name. It's his body. It's his body. Why do we look into the teaching of others? Because that was a heartfelt letter that I got. And the things that were written in that pamphlet were true. And you started listening to their teachings. Do you think that we're smart enough without the Word of God that we wouldn't have noticed this? No. We would have been every bit as much deceived as they were, as they are. The problem with this pamphlet that I received is that they do not teach that Jesus is God, but he is simply a man, that God accepted his sacrifice. Also, they even teach that he won't even make heaven. Just says there that he was at the right hand of the Father and he gave the Holy Spirit. But these people teach that he won't even make heaven. That he'll live on earth with men, and there are men that are alive today, they will make heaven over Jesus. This is their teaching. It's not the deceptive, we love you, we're teaching Christ pamphlet that they give you. And so I ask you today, I didn't say their name, but I ask you today, if they heard this and they got mad, why would they get mad? Because I told you what they taught, or I exposed their lie? Which one? Are they mad because we're telling them what they teach? We profess what we teach every Sunday. And we put it out online for people to hear. We don't get mad if people repeat what we believe. Men do not pass God. They do not pass the risen Savior. And they will worship in heaven with God while Jesus himself didn't make heaven and resides on earth with men. This is what they teach. And that letter was written, was heartfelt, because they were reaching out because they were concerned about my soul in a time of uncertainty. That's why it's important to study behind. Otherwise, I could be at a place in my life where I could be looking for answers and I would have been lied to. And people will call me mean because I bring this up. People will call me hateful because I bring this up. I want you to know the truth. Does this sound like the Jesus whom Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, that he was a man that wouldn't even make heaven? Then why do they teach that? Because people don't study behind them. And when they do, do you know what translation they use? Their own translation. They have their own Bible for people to read that coincide with what's going on. And that Bible, be very hard to get a hold of some older copies, but that Bible has been changed with the theology of the times. God doesn't change. He is concerned about your soul, and he wants you to know the truth because he loves you. Because one day you will stand before him and he will ask you, just like Jesus has asked you, what hindered you from obeying the truth? What was it? At one point in my life, I could have named off several things that hindered me. Once I saw who Jesus was, I could still name off things that hindered me. And now I stand before people teaching, and you know what? I still can name off things that could hinder me. We never reach that place where this world is not a pull to us. But we have to know the truth of what we're doing. And if we choose to go into it, God wants us to go into it with both eyes open. He can't make you stop. I mean, he could, but he's not going to. But he wants you to know the consequences of your actions. You want to serve me? I'm talking about the Lord. You want to serve me? There's a price to be paid. He paid a price. You want to play in the world and you want to have nothing to do with me? There's a price to be paid for that too. He wants us to look after people's teaching. He wants us to understand and know what they are teaching. Are they lying to you under the cover of sympathy? Or are they telling you the truth? And if they're telling you the truth, it should harmonize with Scripture. All Scripture. Not just parts of it, but all of it. This is why we search the Scriptures and look at the teachings of others. This is the only plan of salvation that God will ever give. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. But it doesn't stop with immersion. That's one of the things that denominationalism want to pin on people who teach the truth, and they want to bring us down because they say it's all about immersion. No, I just told you, we just read from His Word that after those people believed the message that Peter preached, that they continued in the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Salvation is never just a one-time decision. It has to start somewhere. It has to start somewhere, and it starts with believing this message. They were cut to the heart. What should we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of us, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. It's got to start somewhere, but it is a daily walk. And there are people out there that you trust. There are people out there that you love. There are people out there that you are close to, and they do not know the truth. We have to show them. And before we can show them, we have to know the truth. We have to have confidence in this Word, don't we? Yes, we do. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?